Tabernacle Family Church, how are we? Great, great, thanks, great. If you would like, we would love to invite you up to the altar. There's a whole bunch of rug that you can cut on. Get it, cut a rug, you can praise and worship with us. So come on up.
Shall be done. promised place, amen? Because I believe that we serve a completely unstoppable God. Nothing can stop God's will from being done, amen? I want you to go around to five people, and I want you to tell them what you think God can do. Something huge. Do you believe that he can move mountains? Introduce yourself and say, hey, my name is Minister McKenzie, and I believe that God can raise the dead. My name is Minister McKenzie, and I believe that he can touch my heart like no one else can. Hallelujah. Let's stir up this atmosphere of faith. Speak life, speak hope. Speak faith into people right now. Praise.
let's praise the
Come on, one more
name.
Time.
No other name that's higher. No other name
that's stronger.
That's stronger. No other name
forever.
Forever I will praise the name. No other name
that can heal us.
Can heal us.
No other name
can free us. No other name so precious. Let's praise the name.
Lord, we praise you in this place. There's no one else like you. There's no one else like you. Come on, somebody, pour out your love to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. There's no one else like you, Lord. There's no one else like you, Jesus. We honor you today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. Your name is strength. Your name is power. A strong tower makes me safe. Everybody sing,
that is who you are.
Hallelujah.
And that is who. light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Y'all sound so amazing. Come on. You know that he'll make a way. Say.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
You're the
light,
my God. In my
God. That is who you are.
Come on and sing,
Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper,
light in the
He's
darkness.
He's my light. He's my light. God. He's
that
the way. He's the way. You're working, and even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop. Come on and sing that out. You never stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
You never stop. You're working, and even when I don't feel it,
see, you never stop.
You never stop.
You never stop. Cause you're Jehovah Jireh. Voice singing this out, just say Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Come on and sing that one more time. Say,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
Come on and sing this one more time. Say, even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Come on and sing that out.
Even when I don't feel
just declare
it, you're
that.
Working. You never stop. You never stop.
Because he's unstoppable,
working.
Right?
You never stop.
He never stops
you
working,
never
right?
Stop
on my behalf.
Working.
Come on and sing.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Woo. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
You'll never,
you never stop.
Stop
working.
Oh, oh.
You never stop. You never
and that's
stop
why I
working.
Call you Way.
Waymaker, miracle worker,
hey.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Yeah, come on and sing that out.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Sing that in. Come on and worship him. Sing, that is who you are, my healer.
That is who you are.
Yeah, you're my provider. That's who you are.
That is who you are.
You're never stop making a way for me. That's who you are.
And that is who you are.
Hallelujah. Let's sing Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Jesus, we worship you this morning. God, you are not just a God that's up in heaven marionetting, but God, you are intimately involved in every single situation in our life. We declare, God, we recognize you. The Word of God declares, if we recognize you, that God, you'll move. So, Father, we recognize you and we declare you as our miracle worker. We declare you as the supernatural King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We declare you as the I am that I am, the supernatural God. And, Lord, we declare that today there is not one thing in our life, not one thing touching our life, that you are not more powerful than. And we declare you as our way maker. Make a way where there is no way. Oh God, open opportunity. Heal the sick bodies. We curse sickness in the name of Jesus. You foul devil, we command you to be bound in Jesus' name. Loose the children of God right now in the name of Jesus. God, we declare financial miracles in this room in Jesus' name. We declare family relationship miracles in Jesus' name. We declare, God, no matter what situation we're in, that, Father, by your Spirit, you are able to make a way where there is no way. We love you. We thank you that you are not a man. We thank you that you truly are God. You are limitless. You are all-powerful. You are ever-present in time of trouble. God, we call upon your name. We know we shall be saved. Jesus, we honor you today. We lift up holy hands without wrath or malice. And we declare that you are our Savior. You are our God. You are our healer. You are our Redeemer. Jesus, thank you that you love us. And we honor you this morning, Jesus. Some of you are having pain on the left side of your neck. It literally goes right up the back of your head, stops about right at the crown of your head. Jesus is releasing that pain right now in his name. God, we command it to go right now in the cause. I said go. Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you are the healer. Honey, I pray with you in the car, but I'm going to pray with you right now. I just really sense the anointing. Holy Spirit. Now, God, you are the miracle worker. We release the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. I command right now sickness, very root of it, to dry up and die in the name of Jesus. I command you to be free. Free indeed. In Jesus' name. God, anybody else who's struggling here, Lord, I declare that Jesus, they'll see you for who you actually are. Lord, that there'll be an epiphany. God, that there'll be an apocalypse. That God, there'll be an unveiling. That God, there'll be a revelation in their heart that you are not just some God that's sitting on the throne, but you are their God who loves them with an everlasting love. You are a merciful God. You are a compassionate God. You are a God that there's nothing impossible. And we speak right now, Father, that they'll feel your love encompass them. That Jesus, they'll feel your mercy. Lord, I remind you. I remind you, Jesus. I can see them. I remind you, you walked up to the city of Nain and you saw the funeral procession and you looked over at that mom who's getting ready to bury her son and she didn't even ask you to do a miracle, but you were moved, Jesus. You were moved with mercy, moved with compassion. Jesus. There are people that need compassion and mercy this morning. Deliver it, Jesus. Deliver it. In an infusion that no man can give, that nothing makes sense, but only God has shown up and touched their life. We honor you. And we call on you. And we need you. Declare it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Waymaker. You are the miracle worker. Don't know how to receive, just say, Jesus, I receive right now. I receive the anointing. I receive the power of God in my life. You know what you need, start receiving it right now. Jesus, I receive money. I receive healing. I receive my family. I receive deliverance. I receive a sound mind. I receive, Jesus, the breaking of depression. I receive, Jesus, the breaking of that devil who's trying to kill me, even get me to commit suicide. I receive, Jesus, your freedom. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You're doing things this morning that doctors haven't been able to accomplish, that psychiatrists and psychologists haven't been able to conquer, Jesus. You're doing things this morning, God, in our lives of bringing healing in us, Jesus, right now. You're bringing healing in us right now, Jesus, even from things that we've carried from childhood. Lord, I can sense it in my spirit. I sense there are some folks that have been dealing with unforgiveness, and you just can't find it, and you're trying. You want to forgive them. Here goes. Holy Spirit is going to start releasing it. Say it right aloud, I forgive you, and say their name, and Jesus is going to start lifting that off you right now in the name of Jesus. Ooh. More. 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 We want more, Jesus. We want more, Jesus. More. Stronger, God. People with the Holy Ghost this morning, Lord, even while they're standing in their seats. Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Jesus, where only you are going to get glory in their life. Hallelujah. You are the supernatural God touching the natural earth. Make yourself so powerful and manifested. Jesus, I declare you in your name. Somebody about the size of a quarter on your right quad, halfway down, more on the outside, God is healing. Whatever that cause is, I don't know if it's a tear, but right now, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. In Jesus' name, you start touching, you'll find that all the pain is gone. In Jesus' name. Someone's got a hitch in their giddy-up on their right side. Also, you'll see it usually shoot over to your left hip. You'll feel it right about here, above your belt line, and it shoots over to your left hip. Jesus is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. Worship your Lord. Receive, 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 receive. Jesus, you are so faithful to us. Come on, that hip thing, you got to receive that because I'm still feeling it. Come on, receive it right now. Say, you don't know how, just say, I receive it, Jesus. And you start moving your hip, you'll find that God will loosen it right up and you'll be free in Jesus' name. Want you to be happy with us, Father. Want you to be pleased with us. We want you to know that we love you. Not only individually, but God, as a church, we love you. Promise certain things to us. We're asking you this morning that you'll show them strong. Listen, we're not going to take glory from you. It's all yours. This is not about any of us. It's all about you showing yourself as magnificent as you are. Be God. Take our breath away. Take our breath away, Jesus. Have asthma, put your hand on your lungs right now. Father, I command curse asthma, command the bronchial tubes to work properly, and Lord, the lungs to work properly. God, whatever the root cause is within each individual, Lord, I speak to it and I command it right now to loose them in Jesus' name. Their breaths will be deep, clean, and clear. They'll be able to run and do things they've never done before. In the name of Jesus. God, we give you all the honor and all the praise, all the glory, for you are God and we are not. Love you. I don't know about you, I just love the presence of the Lord. My problem is, you know, I can honestly just sit like in this spot right here for another hour or two. See, when you step into the presence of the Lord, it's different from just going to church. Some of you have never experienced that. Some of you are still on the church level. And I'm glad you're here because this is where you can experience God. But there is a plane and a place where you step into the presence of God where time actually gets suspended. And now you just get lost in Him. And I challenge you to start asking Him to bring you there. It's a different place. Some of you've gotten saved. You love the Lord. No denying the fact. There's the anointing. But there's a spot where you step into where it suspends. You and Him. Just you and Him. And I love being here, but here is so better. And it's like, I sense you, I feel tangibly touching God. Is the anointing. God is tangibly touching. Get that, man. It changes you. Not church anymore. Can't wait to be where He is. One shall put 1,000 to flight, but 2 shall put 10. Holy Spirit, clear without you. God, some people in the room have never truly experienced you in a very powerful way. Pray you start putting a desire in their heart first. Holy Spirit, start drawing them. And I pray, God, that when they're alone, you'll just drop in their spirit to talk to Christ, to talk to Jesus. And at that moment, that the tangible presence of God will come on. Just slip your hands to heaven right now. Done. Yeah, come on, slip your hands to heaven. Come on, talk to Him, talk to Him. That's you saying, I just need to feel God. I need to feel you, Jesus. I need to feel Lord, I don't feel nothing. You know, it's not always about feeling. God wants to touch you this morning. Jesus, I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit from the front of this building right now to the back. In Jesus' name. But the tangible touch of heaven be evident and manifest in our body. be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. In the name of Jesus. Only you, God. Only you can touch. Only you can change. Only you can transform. Only you can deliver. And it's in your presence that there's fullness of joy. It's in your presence, Jesus, as it said in Mark 5, that when you were in the house, the presence of God was there, and there was the power to heal.
Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop. You never stop working.
Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop.
You never stop working.
You're
be the glory. Great things you have done. You have saved us. You have healed us. You have delivered us. You are blessing us. Holy Spirit, stir up the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Stir it up, Holy Ghost. Stir it up, Holy Ghost. Oh God, we just worship you this morning. For some, God, this is going to be a memorial day. For others, it's a reconnection day. And for others, it's a new day. But we declare this is the day that God has made, and we will never see it again. And we are going to live it with every fiber of our being for your name's sake, Jesus. Our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Oh, God, deliver us from church. Bring us into your kingdom. Can't wait for heaven. We've just scratched the very presence of God here on earth. The Holy Spirit, we just want you to know that you have liberty. It's not our church, it's your church. You can do whatever you want in this place because we love you. And I can't fix the wing on a fly, but you can make a fly. So Creator, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, great I am, be God in this place. Some of you brought guests and you're concerned about your guests. I got a story for you. There was this church where this woman, every single song service, she got up and she just started running around the church screaming, laughing, rejoicing. And this lady brought a friend and she sat in the back row on purpose because she didn't want, she figured when this lady got up, they could sneak out the back. Wouldn't scare her friend. Well, the lady popped up early, screaming around the church. After church, she said to her friend, "I'm really sorry." She said, "What are you talking about? That lady passed me? Man, I felt God." I want to remind you about the verse of this year, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. It's all about Jesus is not natural. He is supernatural. And you can come to church, that's natural. But without a visitation from the supernatural, you just wasted a few hours. Nice of you. Appreciate you being here, but you wasted it. I'm just that kind of guy, man. I'm not here for games, not interested in games, not interested in toying, not interested in playing. If we ain't going to get Jesus, we can go brunch. Because I can always eat some. But I want to know this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His mercies endure forever. His mercies endure forever. His mercies endure forever. Great is thy faithfulness. We honor you, God. We honor you, Jesus. I just love the Lord. I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. We all got a job to do, so let's stop playing the game and just get this thing done. Because Jesus is coming soon. Can I hear an amen? We got to stop playing games. We got to have the presence of God saturate us so much that when we go out into the community, they say, "There's something weird about you." That's right. I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. praise the Lord, I've gone, wow, you know, I'm not going to apologize. It doesn't happen often, so I'm just glad that Jesus is here. Amen? Aren't you glad? No. I love you. Father, as we go back to our chairs, we just thank you that we have the privilege of calling you Lord and calling each other brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for making us part of your family. Thank you for making us citizens of the kingdom of God. And we love you this morning in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. On your way back to your chair, shake a few hands, but we're not going to do the entire meet and greet. Just make it back to your chair and get ready for more what God wants to do in your life. Hey, buddy.
Okay, as long as you see them, that's fine. I was wondering if they were, like, up here.
I know it's nice to talk to everybody, but we have exciting news for you. We have upcoming events, but we want to welcome you all to the house of God today. We're so excited that you're here with us. Today is a phenomenal day. We want to welcome all the guests in-house. If this is your first time here and you have not yet received a guest packet, if you don't mind just waving your hand in the air, we want to bring you a gift. Go ahead and raise it up high if this is your first time here. We got awesome, a whole crew in the back. That's awesome. We welcome you. We're glad you're here this morning. Yes, awesome. We want to welcome our online family. Thank you so much for tuning in. Real quickly, we have a few announcements for you. If you think you can sing, actually, I shouldn't say if you think, because some people think they can sing and they really can't. But anyway, Minister McKenzie is doing worship team auditions tomorrow night at 5 p.m. So if you can play an instrument of any kind, if you actually can sing, you need to contact her and join the worship team. We're growing and we need more people. And God's given you gifts and talents to join the team. I'm going to call out Mason. I know she's going to be there tomorrow because she's totally gifted in singing and dancing and all these other things. So let's give her a hand clap that she's going to come tomorrow night. But anyway, if you want to join the worship team, you need to be here tomorrow night at 5 p.m. You can contact her for more details.
If they want to learn an instrument too.
If you want to learn an instrument, ooh, there's a good one. Now, if you want to learn an instrument, you can come and try out.
Like a bass.
Like a bass. She's dropping some hints back there. Also, can I turn to everybody and say Freedom Weekend? If you have not yet been to a Freedom Weekend, this is something we've been doing for a few months now. We do it once a month. You need to come to Freedom Weekend. Whether you just recently gave your heart to Jesus and you just started coming to church, this is for you. If you've been coming a while now and you just haven't really gotten to that next level, this is for you. You need to get to Freedom Weekend. It's only $10 per person. It's a Friday night and a Saturday morning and into a little bit into the afternoon, but it's powerful. You'll grow in the Spirit of God. There's freedom for you. There's a new level for you. Things can be changed in your life during this weekend. So I need you guys to just go sign up for it. Turn to somebody and say, I'll go with you. Let's go to Freedom Weekend together because it's powerful and it will change your life. Amen? We have some video announcements for you.
Hey, are you wondering why you're here? Or maybe you're new. Can I tell you the best place for you to start is Growth Track. Every single Sunday morning at 9:30, there's snacks, there's childcare, there's amazing teaching about this church and about yourself that we'd love to have you a part. And what's great about it is it leads into the next thing for you, which could be next steps, including Rock Solid Faith and step 2 and 3, or even into groups. But we'd love to see you as a part of this church, not just sitting, but being a part of the church, which changes everything. Make sure you sign up today for Growth Track next week at 9:30 a.m.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How's everybody doing this morning? 6 minutes from the afternoon, but it's okay. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. At this time, we want to continue in our time of worship with our tithes and offerings. So either underneath your seat or on your seat or next to your seat, there should be a tithe envelope. If you do not have one, just slip your hand up in the air. Our ushers will be gladly to expeditiously get one into your hands. That's a very great word. Too long for Scrabble. It's still a good word. As we guys are going to start to fill out your envelopes, I want to talk to you from Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 42. This is a great story that we know of Jesus feeding the 5,000. There's a lot of people that have come out to hear him speak, and they are hungry. Say hungry. Don't lie to me. You know you are all hungry. Don't lie to me. And at this time, they say, Jesus, no, we need to eat. And Christ says, you go and feed them. And he asks, what do you have? And a small boy has 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the Bible says that the minute that they gave those 5 loaves and 2 fish into the hands of the master, it started to multiply. And I believe that there are some people in this room, you may think that your tithe, it is small, your seed, it is small. But can I let you know something? The minute you begin to put that seed and that tithe in the hands of the master, it is going to multiply. And what's also great about that story is that Christ says, you go and feed them. He didn't say go out somewhere else or go find somebody else. He said you. Do you know what that means? That in this house, that is where the miracle is. Tommy Barnett preached a great sermon that said the miracle is in the house. And I'm so thankful that for everything this house has done, it has come from your obedience and your willingness to say, God, I believe you. If I could put it into your hands, it is going to multiply. This past Thursday, I came out to hang out with all the Upward youth, and it was amazing just seeing what God was doing in their lives. From the time of food and games, the word, their lives are being changed and transformed. That's one of so many ministries we have in this church that we are advancing the kingdom. And guess what? That starts with you and I in this time right here and right now, giving what we have in our pockets, in our hands, in our checkbooks, giving it to the master and saying, God, I know if I give this to you, it will multiply and it will also advance the kingdom of God. So thank you so much that in your time of going to give every single week, it's not just writing a check. It's not just doing Apple Pay, whatever it may be. It's about you and I saying, God, you will multiply, we will advance the kingdom of heaven. And you and I, we have that privilege every single week to see God's kingdom enlarge and advance here at His Tabernacle Family Church. So at this time, you can just stand up to your feet. We are so excited to give. Deuteronomy 28, God said there are so many promises for you and I. So are you ready to give? You can put your envelopes up in the air, put your phone up in the air. We are here to make a supernatural declaration. We know as we put it into the hands of the Master, it is going to multiply. Who believes that? Multiply. This is the year of us being a supernatural church, and we don't want things just to add. We want things to multiply. Amen? So as we say this declaration, don't say it as if I just want you to add, God. Say it as if, God, I want you to multiply. Amen? So are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, come on now. Say, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Said I'm a child of God. Now shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. Feel free to come out of your seats and come to the front to drop off your tithes and your offerings. And if you're watching online, you can click on that giving button right now. Go ahead and join in on this. The word of the Lord from Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 42. You put it in the hands of the Master, and it is going to multiply. We believe that for you. If you receive it, say amen and give in faith.
Dedication Sunday. Woohoo! Don't we love the babies? I do when they're somebody else's. I want to thank the Lord that all my babies are grown up and gone. I give God praise and glory. I'm praying for all you parents in the room. Amen. Because honestly, grandparenting is the stinking best. It really is. When all you got to do is say, here's some candy, go home. It's the best. If I could have all the families for the dedication to come on up, not only as the parents, but also the families. If you'd like to come, you're more than welcome. Come right out of your chair. Maybe you're up front. Don't worry. Everybody's already staring at you. Doesn't matter. Very good. Come thither. There's one. There's two. Amen. Oh, he's gotten big, huh? scary. It goes by so fast. I remember the wedding in the woods. That was a really beautiful wedding. I think I stayed for the reception. It was hot in there. How old are you, man? Are you 62 yet? Are you 9 months already? Wow, look at the family. Come on now, it's great. Look at the family. Hi, how are you, Mom? You're okay, I promise. I'm sorry. This is a gift from the pastor. There's a family buried on this end. Who's the buried family? Who's getting dedicated today? Raise your hands. One. This is your whole family? Stink, that's awesome. Wow. The church just blew up today. That's phenomenal. I'm not sure if the other families are here or not. So we're going to do a baby dedication. So let me explain baby dedication to you. Baby dedication many times is so misunderstood. Some of you might be from a more liturgical background. And what a liturgical background says, hi, Rhonda. But a liturgical background says that if your baby is dedicated or baptized, that your child goes to heaven. And that's not what the Bible says. So I'm not trying to contradict you or make you feel poorly, but I want to do the Bible. Is that okay? We don't mind doing the Bible? The Bible talks about a woman named Hannah and her husband, and Hannah had a situation where she couldn't get pregnant. Now, in these days, that's hard. But in those days, if you couldn't put out a man-child, you were like the biggest loser. It was like the worst thing that could happen in your life. And so here she is. His other wives had babies. Now, that's a whole other story. We won't go there. I can't handle the one I got. I don't know how he did more. Amen. Amen. But they went to do dedication or went to go do sacrifice. And what happened at the sacrifice was Eli, the prophet, looked down and she was crying. And he thought she was drunk. So he rebuked her. And what it came out to be was that she couldn't have a child. Her heart was broken. And she said, if I have a child, I'm going to dedicate it to God. See, this baby dedication has nothing to do with the children. They're too young to even understand what's going on here. This has to do with, look at this mass family. Has to do with you. Has to do with your families. This is all about you. It's not about the babies, because I'm going to slap some oil on them, pray for them, surround them with the protection of God. But honestly, they only know what you teach them. When I drove school bus, the greatest cussers were the kindergarten class. One day I said, how can you use that F word like that? And they said, well, mommy and daddy do. Everything we do, our kids watch us. They listen to us. They literally do what we do. And this is the power of our lives. We have generations in our hands. I have relatives where most of us grew up in the house of God. Some of them chose not to continue in the house of God, and they raised their children out of the house of God. And what happened was simply this, is that now they literally have generations that have never been to church once. So they grew up in church with a great opportunity of knowing God, and then they stopped going to church. They didn't raise their family in church, and then now the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren no longer go to church. Literally generations. What you're doing today, and I honor you. What you're doing today, you got to stop pinching her, honey. What you're doing today is you're literally setting your generations in order. I'm a generational preacher, and in this church, it's a generational church. We had to open a new nursery room because there was too many babies. All the way up to, I think, the most mature person in the church is 89 or 92. Generations. And you're creating this with your family. You're creating this with your family. Baby girls, creating this with your family. Creating this with your family. Where generations now can know God because you're making a decision. This is what happened. After the boy was old enough and she brought him before the Lord and she brought him before Eli in verse 27 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel says this, "For this child I prayed and the Lord granted me my petitions which I asked him," which were for the baby. "Therefore I have also lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord right there. What you're actually doing is you're taking your baby this morning and you're saying, "He's not ours, he's God's. He's not ours, he's God's. She's not ours, I'm not sure where she is right now, but she's God." You're good, baby, I'm just playing with you. And what you're going to see is the opportunity to literally transform generations. So I want to pray with the babies. Then I want to pray for the families. Because really, you. They're going to pray like you pray. They're going to be faithful to church like you're faithful to church. They're going to read the Bible like you read the Bible. They're going to serve God like you serve God. Or they're going to cuss like you cuss. They're going to serve the devil like you serve the devil. And this is going to go generationally. A person doesn't receive Jesus Christ by the age of 18, 8 out of 10 never will. That's huge. Because we're not talking about natural things. That's eternity, man. That's forever. And I don't know about you, I love my family. I love my family. And you know, I don't want to be just with my family here. I want to be with them there. And there are families in heaven. I want my family. Didn't even see it coming. We're going to be sneaky with her, so watch this. Watch. Bam! Shows you I had children. Father, I speak over these children in the name of Jesus. Just as she lent her child to the Lord, and he became a mighty man of the Spirit. I declare that these children are lent to you. Father, thank you for the privilege and the honor of being able to speak into their lives, direct them. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they get old, they will not depart. We choose, oh God, to make a declaration that we will sow the word into them. We will sow consistency into them. We will sow and teach them how to pray. We will teach them how to believe you, God, and show through our families that you are a good God and greatly to be praised. Lord, I pray that these children will actually lead them. God, you'll do great and mighty things through them. In Jesus' name. Lord, I commission the families that are here. I condition the moms and the dads and grandmas and grandpas and uncles and aunts and friends. And I declare in the name of Jesus that Holy Spirit, you'll convict them every time they start to train the child opposite of your word. Jesus, when they grow up, even at a young age, they'll know how to pray for the sick and see them recover. They'll be able to lead their friends at school to Christ. God, they'll not be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. In Jesus' name, everybody receiving it said, amen. There you go. There you go. I'm going to give it to you. Can you give the families a hand clap this morning for coming? Thank you so much. We love you. I promise only to preach 2 hours and you'll be set. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Can you give the families another hand clap as they go? Doesn't she look beautiful today?
Yeah.
Sorry, she's a hot woman. You know, you're in good shape after 30 years when you still think they look good. Amen. I got a good-looking wife. And she kisses good. Don't rub it off. In your chairs, you should all have your covenant for your friends and family to be saved. They should be in your chair. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't have them, you want to fill this out. There's 7 spots for the friends and family you want to see born again. So this year, we're believing the Lord for these people on your list that they'll give their hearts to Jesus. If in your chair, if you don't have one in your chair, there's some in your chairs, just fill them out, and we're going to pray over these every month. So let's pray over them. If you have yours, let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that the devil cannot have our family and our friends. We declare, God, that you're going to give us holy boldness. We ask, Jesus, that you'll loose the devil who's blinding the mind of the unbeliever. And we release the anointing to set the captives free. Jesus, we pray in your name that by the end of this year, every person that's on this list will be sitting in the house of God with their hands lifted high, born again, set free in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare, God, our families to be saved, our friends to be saved, that Jesus, you will receive glory and we will fill heaven and drain hell. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody agreed, said, amen. Amen. I want to remind you to be praying over these every single day, speaking over them that your friends and family will know God. You know, today I'm really excited. I'm going to preach as short as I can. Is that fair? You know, we've been talking about his tabernacle. The vision for 2020 is not 2020 vision. I just think that's so lame. There are churches popping that all over. 2020 vision. That's nice. God spoke to me. We are the unstoppable church. Can I hear an amen? Unstoppable. The supernatural church. Thank you, few of you. Amen. We're going to practice again. Ready? Shout unstoppable. Unstoppable. The supernatural church. One more time. Unstoppable. Unstoppable. The supernatural church. Supernatural. Amen. That's who you are. You are the church. This building is just a building, but you are the church. You are the body of Christ, and God's got a phenomenal plan for you. We were talking and have been talking about the vision of his tabernacle and how God wants to do so much more. We've only just begun. Isn't it hard to believe? We'll be stepping into the 22nd year of ministry next month in this house. We started with 5 people at the Horseheads Holiday Inn. It is amazing how God has increased this house. Amazing how God has brought so many people to salvation. It's amazing how many people have been healed and set free by the power of Jesus' name. God has blessed us abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. I'm excited today that we aren't just in a church, but we're in a body of believers as citizens of God, doing the work in the will of God to change people's lives. At his tabernacle, man, this is just the beginning. I thank God. In fact, what's really exciting, and I showed it first service, I'm not going to take the time second, but the addition we're going to put on out front, blocking in the front. But I just want you to know, turn to someone and say, don't get comfortable. Tell somebody else, don't get comfortable. This building, I want to remind you, was built as a children's wing. This is not the building that we're going to be in. This is just built for the children's ministry. In fact, I'm decreeing, even as in youth ministry, we have over 100 kids right now in youth ministry every Thursday. I decree there'll be 400 to 500 in our region that'll be filling this building every single Thursday night, declaring the power and the goodness of God. I declare that even on Wednesday nights, we'll have 200 children that will bus in under the age of 12, that will feed, that will clothe, that will get the word in and change generations right down in Elmira by the power of the gospel of Christ. I declare in the name of Jesus that this will have a Christian school where we can raise up young men and young women in the word of God, that they don't have to be, listen now, the high schools and elementary schools are a lot different than when I was there. I thank God for all of you who are teachers, and we're praying for you. But the fact is that we live in a really different society right now. Really different. And I've never been one that's really been a proponent of Christian school. But I will tell you this. I think we're in a position where we need to start raising our kids around the gospel to give them a little bit more boldness and then watch them invade the school systems. Can I hear an amen? So the vision of His Tabernacle is not small. We're declaring that there'll be a building out front that will seat about 2,000 people. We're declaring in the name of Jesus that Ithaca will have a new building, that Mansfield will grow. Every area of this ministry is growing and maturing right now. I'm excited to declare last two Sundays ago, actually, up in Ithaca, 187 people filled that brand new building of only a year and a half. That's the largest church of Pentecost in the entire Tompkins County. Isn't that exciting? I'm excited to declare last Sunday, Pastor Dan had 80 people down in Mansfield. I'm excited to declare our campus, we have a His Tabernacle in Canada, right now is running 99. And when we started with them about a year and 3 months ago, they were running about 25 to 30. It's so exciting to watch that right now the Treadways down in Kentucky have literally doubled the church in about a year and a half. And right there in West Virginia, he has already crested 100 people in West Virginia. I'm excited that in Campeche, Mexico, he just contacted me and he said, Pastor, we tore down the entire children's wing because we've got to start rebuilding. There are so many people coming. We've got to add to the congregation. Then we're going to build up and we're going to build the actual sanctuary in the second story. And you and I have sowed into them. We've sowed 10,000 American dollars. That's a lot of pesos. 10,000 American daughters so they can get in there and start preparing for more people to be born again. God is blessing us, but we need to know something. That is the corporate vision. And it's important to have the corporate vision. But what makes the corporate vision is the declaration from God. But what makes it happen is God's vision inside of you. You see, the challenge is a lot of people have become church people and not people of vision. They have become church people, but don't know how important they are. We're living in a society today that literally, man, people are talked down to. And we have more people with low self-esteem issues than ever before in the history of our state and literally America and our history. But I'm here to tell you, that's not how God sees you. God sees you in an entirely different format. And we need to start taking on the mind of Christ, for you have the mind of Christ, so that we can start seeing ourselves the way God sees us, so that our personal vision, coupled with the corporate vision, will take down the enemy and accomplish God's purpose in our region for the glory of God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no prophetic vision, my people perish. What's powerful about that is it says prophetic vision. That is different from just having a vision. What is a vision? Well, it's, you know, I have a desire to do something. But a prophetic vision means that we have heard from God. You see, you need to know the necessity of hearing from God for your own life is imperative. You were not born 400 years ago. You are not born in a different country. You are born right here. You are here right now at this exact time of history to fulfill God's design for your life. The challenge is when you don't know why you're here, you are more lost than anybody. There's nobody more lost than a person with no vision. You can have no physical vision, but have absolute spiritual vision and don't know where God wants to take you and be more sighted than somebody who has visual sight, but yet has no vision in life. This is an issue we're having in the body of Christ. We have created what we call church visitation. The average American now comes only one every 3 weeks. The problem with that is it's literally invading the design of God to fulfill His purpose here on the earth. We are now people that need to know that your personal call, your personal vision, the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that before the foundations of the earth were ever formed, God knew you, that God planned you with specific gifts and specific talents for this specific time so that you and I can couple the will of God and see God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's time to recognize we can't just meander in our Christianity any longer, but we've got to start marrying a vision. Can I hear an amen? Vision is everything. I remember one day we were at the, now many people don't know this, when we were down at the other building, now it's the Mexican restaurant down the street. I remember we used to have rock solid faith. Back those days, it was called catechism because we were drawing the Catholics out. We would say, you know, if you're Catholic, you can come to this class. And now we call it rock solid faith. We had a lot of Catholics give their hearts to Jesus. It was a great time and a season. And what happened was it was a nasty rug. In fact, we called it the nasty, ugly green room because the green rug was 1960s and stained like the 1960s. The upstairs of the building was all renovated, beautiful, but downstairs was the nasty, ugly green room, and that's where we held rock solid faith. So we'd have tables all set up, and everybody would be sitting around, and we'd go through rock solid faith book, and people would grow in the Lord. And one day, there was a guy there, and he said to me, Pastor, I go to two churches. I go to the church here, and I go to this church. And I said, well, that's a problem. And he looked at me, and he said, what do you mean that's a problem? I said, that's a problem because how can you marry two visions? It's like marrying two women. Which one are you dedicated to? First, who's going to kill you? Amen. You see, what happens is a vision is living. A vision is alive inside of you. It's not just somebody posting something on the board saying vision. There has to be something alive in your spirit. There has to be something alive in your being that gives you the direction of why you're breathing. You see, so many people are wrapped up in the breath that they breathe and the money they make and the house they live in and the kids they pop out and then they die and get put down in a coffin. But I'm here to tell you, your life means far more than that. Your life, God has pre-planned. And in fact, the Bible says that God knew you, God plans you, and he has designed for you and your personal vision collaborated with the corporate vision makes God's plan come to fruition. This is what God's plan is. But we've come to this place in Christianity where the average, like I said, Christian goes to church once every 3 weeks, and there's no way that somebody's going to marry a vision on visitation. Say amen or am I. You need to know how important you are. Listen, if God needed you taller, he would have made you taller. If God needed your feet bigger, I wish he had done that for me. My children all wear size 11, and Cody, Pastor Cody, buys amazing sneakers. I can't wear them. Why? Because God made my feet 8.5 wide, triple E. I can't wear his, but there is one benefit. He can't wear mine, but he wouldn't anyway, so we won't make it. But God makes us powerful. If Brother Ed needed hair, God would have put more hair on Brother Ed's head. Amen? We're all so different, fearfully and wonderfully made. But the issue is, if you don't believe that God's plan for your life is more than just sucking air and dying, then you're just going to meander in church and out of church and not adhere to the vision that God has planned for you. I said to the man, I'll finish my story. I said to the man, I said, well, you can't go to two churches. And he said, well, I'm telling you now, that doesn't make any sense to me. I said, you have to marry a vision. You have to dedicate yourself to the vision, and with your gifts and the vision of the corporate body, God will make his word come true, and you will see transition because you will be dedicated. You cannot be dedicated to something that you are not sold out to. Amen. Try that in a relationship. See how far you get. Amen. You cannot halfway dedicate yourself. Can you imagine doing your vows? I got to remember the vows. What were the vows? What are vows? It's been so long since I've done a wedding. Let's see, how did they go? Not yes, dear. How do the vows go? How do vows go? What's that? Oh, yeah. Here we go. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, so long as we both shall live. So let's do them this way. For better, or if I'm comfortable. For worse, until you're too much of an irritation. In sickness and in health. I'm sorry. If you're sick, I just don't have the time. So long as we both shall live or just don't like each other anymore. How many of you said those vows at your wedding? Yeah, some of us should have. But you cannot have a viable relationship. You will never have a long-term relationship unless those words are extremely real to you. And in the vision that God has given you, the way that God has created you, the basic plan that God has spoken for your life before you were ever formed, before he ever said, let there be light, and there was, when you and I recognize who we are and we plug ourselves into the vision of God, then there's nothing that we cannot accomplish. You see, I love when we start reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, you'll see what I mean. The Bible says this, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Can you imagine if your finger came out of your nose? Somebody waves at you and you go, here's a problem. How can you scratch your nose? How can you pick your nose? Yeah, don't you lie. Come on now. I've never picked my nose a day in my life. Yeah, you pick somebody else's because let's be real. Fact is that if your finger came out your nose, you would have serious issues. Because why? It's not where it belongs. Or if all of a sudden you're walking down the road and your hand falls off. It's not even there anymore. Or your foot falls off. Or even worse, instead of your foot being on the bottom of your leg, it's sticking out your rear end. It makes sitting kind of uncomfortable. Although some of you need one of those. Some of you might need a foot coming out of your buttocks to encourage you and strengthen you in the Lord Jesus Christ. The point comes down to is that God has fitly put us together and he's formed us. If you're here, you're not just here because you're here. God's got a plan for you here. God's got a purpose for your life here. God has a ministry for you here. God's got a design for you here. And when we're all doing what God has called us to do, the Bible says that we're going to see great and mighty things happen. The Bible goes on to say in Ephesians 4:16, as each part does its own special work. Now, I don't know about you. You know, you need to realize how special you are. And we haven't sung this song in a long time, and I think it's a good day to sing. How many of you remember the special song? Amen. So those who don't, we'll teach you. Are you ready? You're special, special, S-P-E-C-I-A-L, you're special. Now, turn to the person next to you. If they have halitosis, just cover your nose. Here we go. Ready? Sing it to them. You're special, special, S-P-E-C-I-A-L, you're special. Come on, sing it to somebody else. Do you realize that most people have not been told they're special in so long? There are many people that have not been told they're loved in so long, that they have great purpose in so long. So come on now, you need to prophesy to somebody this morning. Look at them and sing this song. And if you can't sing, then lip sync. Ready? You're special, special, S-P-E-C-I-A-L, you're special. The Bible says that each one does his part in their own special way. God's got a special work for you. He's got a great plan for you. And the Word of God declares that when the whole body does their stuff, this is what happens. The body will be healthy, the body will be growing, and the body will be full of love. You are so unique. You are so important. I don't care what they told you when you were a child. I don't care what somebody has said to you maybe in a marriage. I don't care what somebody has said, even if they're your parent. I want you to hear me now. To God, you are absolutely important and special, and he's got a dynamic plan for your life. Don't you let anybody steal what God says about you. I'll believe God before I believe anybody else. Oh, I've been called the spurn of Satan. I've been called the liar. I've been called the thief. I've been called this. I've been called that. But I want you to know that according to the Word of God, I'm called the Son of the Most High God. I'm called the Anointed of the Spirit. I am called to be somebody who's going to do the mighty, mighty works of God on this planet. Why? Not because I'm Pastor Michael Spencer, but because I am M-I-C-H-E-A-L. My mother messed up on the birth certificate. She tries to blame it on the nurse. I don't know who you are, but you need to hear what God has to say about you. And that is that you are imperative to God's plan. And without you, somebody's not going to go to heaven. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, for you are a chosen generation. Shout, I'm chosen. The Bible says you're a royal priesthood. Shout, I'm royalty. And the Bible says you're a holy nation. Shout, I'm holy. And the Bible says, I'm a peculiar people. Look, if we look at the word peculiar as bad, but literally, the word peculiar there literally means special. God calls you special. If you don't grab a hold of that, then you're always going to walk around with an esteem that's built upon man. And man is cruel. Can I hear an amen? Men lie. Can I hear an amen? When somebody's mad at you, they'll say whatever they got to say to make you feel low or less. But God will never do that because God calls you special to him. He says you were chosen before the foundations of the earth. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. He says, you are a royal priesthood. That means that you are royalty. Listen now, if you're a lady, shout amen. If you're a lady born again, shout amen. Amen. Then tell somebody next to you, I'm a princess. Now, many of you don't know, where's Pastor Obina Igbo? Where is he in the room? Where is he? Pastor Obina Igbo, come here. Some of you know him as Obi. Some of you know him as Obina Igbo. I can't even say your middle name. That's what I said. You want to grab me a microphone? Some of you know, yeah, come on now. Some of you know him as Pastor Obina Igbo. You got to say your middle name.
Chukwudinaka.
Say your whole name.
Obina Chukwudinaka Igbo Chiogo.
Jeez, isn't that cool? Say it again.
Obina Chukwudinaka Igbo Chiogo.
Yeah. But what you don't know, he's an actual prince. Like no kidding, prince. Dude. He is a prince. Like, what does that mean?
Are you a prince?
Yeah. Are you royalty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get up, man. He's royalty. I love you. He's royalty. If you're born again, shout, I'm royalty. That's right. The Bible says you're chosen. The Bible says you're royalty. The Bible says you're special. The Bible says you're holy because Jesus lives inside of you. I'm here to tell you you're not just some Joe Schmo, but you're a son and daughter of the Most High King, and God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you, and if you recognize it, then you cannot live normal. Turn to someone and say, I don't think I'm normal. You're not, you're peculiar. What I love about the body of Christ is we're all different. Yeah. You know, there are people in this church you like, and then there are people in this church you just try to stay away from. Yeah, come on now. You know what I'm talking about. There are people that your personalities click and some that is just like, ah. We're called to love each other, but man, we're not always going to like everything about each other. And that's what I love about the body of Christ. How many of you got along with all of your siblings all the time? Dude, you're special. Yes. Are you like a single child? Okay, that makes sense. I must have got that one by the Spirit. Hallelujah. But I want you to see how special you are. You know, and how diverse we are. The Bible says that Peter, man, Peter was bold. He was outspoken. And let's be real, he had an intense personality. Now, have you ever met somebody intense? I'm talking like when they get on a topic, you're not sure whether they're going to punch you, climb over top of you, or just they're trying to intimidate you, or that's just them. The fact is that Peter was that. Listen, what I love about Peter was this, though. See, Peter was so outspoken that one time Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter stood up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The next chapter, Jesus looks at him and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't even know what you're speaking of." One minute he's pleasing Christ, the next minute he's got. Listen now, Peter, like I said last week, Peter didn't have foot mouth disease. He had leg mouth disease. But that's Peter. How about John? John, Jesus called him the beloved. He was strong. You know how strong he was? When all the other disciples abandoned Jesus, John was still there at the crucifixion. He was humble. He loved people. He was very faithful. Listen, how about Judas? Judas was great with money, or Jesus would never have chosen him to be the one to handle the purse. He was literally the CFO of Christ's company. And here he is, he's stealing. How about Paul? Paul was highly educated. I remember one time a man came up to me in church and he said, "Pastor, I can't stay there anymore. I can't stay at his tabernacle." I said, "Well, why?" He goes, "Well, there's way too many uneducated people in this church." And I said, "Huh?" He said, "Well, I have a master's degree. And, you know, because I have a master's degree and I'm seeing all, you know, the lower class people in the church, and I just don't seem to click with anybody." I'm saying, I won't tell you what I was thinking. But here's Paul. Paul was so educated. He learned under the second greatest teacher of all of that time. Not only that, the Bible said he was zealous and accelerated beyond all of his other counterparts. Paul was an extremely educated man, an extremely passionate man. He was a great thinker, a strong personality, and baby, he was focused. How about Mary Magdalene? Man, I love Mary. She was grateful. Why? Because Jesus forgave her of what she was. Can I hear an amen out there? How many of you are thankful Jesus forgave you of who you were? She was, listen, what I love about Mary Magdalene, she was not only grateful, but she was the financial supporter of Christ's ministry. She gave out the dough to make sure Jesus could continue to do ministry. Her and some other ladies in the body of Christ. You'll find that in the scripture. How about John Mark? John Mark loved to serve. He wasn't one that was out there preaching, but he was out there serving the men of God. He served Paul and Barnabas. Then he went with Barnabas. And then he came back and Paul asked back for him. So he came and bounced back and forth. He was just a guy that was serving. He was not one that was behind the pulpit. How about Luke? Luke was also very intellectual. He was a medical doctor. Man, he was a guy that knew what he was doing, understood physical portions as they were talked about in those days, but yet he got touched and changed by Jesus Christ. How about Barnabas? Barnabas, the very name that he has means encourager. You've been around somebody like that? Man, they can't. If you're around them, you know you're going to walk away happy. They're not sitting there going, "Well, you know, I know your life is horrible and so is mine. We're just hoping maybe God will show up." No, Barnabas looks at you and says, "Man, I want you to know that Jesus, he's got a plan for your life, that Jesus is going to build you. And man, when it looks impossible, when they're going to come against you seven ways, they're going to have to flee, because if God is for you, who can be against you?" And you'll find Barnabas just pumping encouragement. Why? Because that's who Barnabas was. Even amongst Christ, surrounding Jesus at that time, all different types of people. And in this congregation, remember, you're the second service, and there's probably 400 people not here today. That's the normal at his tabernacle. All those people not here every Sunday. It rotates around. 1,300 people come through these doors different every single month. That doesn't include our Wednesday night ministry and our Thursday night ministry. That's just on Sundays. Every one of you are so fearfully and wonderfully made. You are so distinctly created. God's got specific gifts and talents put within you. You are so awesomely special. But if we don't recognize it, and if we don't take the personal vision, the personal gifts, and plug them in with the corporate vision and the corporate gifts, then the body cannot, come on now, the body cannot grow. The body cannot be filled with love. There's always a deficit. And this is the plan of the devil. The plan of the devil is to get you so busy with the things of the world that you no longer are plugged into the body of Christ. That you're a visitor, but your gifts will never be used. Now, the great part about the Lord is that God will replace you after a while. But how sad to realize that God has given you such dynamic gifts, such a dynamic call, such a dynamic person, a purpose, but you'll never use it for his glory. How sad. It reminds me of Matthew chapter 25, where the parable of the talents. A guy had one talent, a guy had two talents, and a guy had five talents. And so what happened was, all of a sudden, the Lord came and gave one five and one two and one one. And he said, come on now, I'm going to go away. And while I'm away, I want to give you responsibility to duplicate this or make more. And so he came back, and the one with the five, he said, how much did you bring back? And he goes, I got five back for you, Lord. I doubled what you did. The one with the two gave back the two. But the one with the one said, I was afraid of you. You're a hard taskmaster. So I took your gift, I took your coin, I took what I had, and I hid it until you came back, so I was at least able to give you back what you gave me. And the Lord looked at him with disdain in his eyes, and he said, you are a horrible servant. He said, not only that, because you have not taken what I've given you and used it, I am not only going to just take it away and give it to somebody else, but you will be cast into everlasting punishment where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a sermon people don't like to talk about in church. Because what it gets down to when it rubber meets the road, he's saying, listen, if you're not going to use the gifts I gave you, you're not going to heaven. Oh, but pastor, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Yes, but if you have faith, you will have works. The byproduct of knowing God, the byproduct of walking with God, the byproduct of serving Jesus is taking your gifts that he has given you and using them in the body of Christ. It's not something you have to create. Listen, mamas, when the baby comes out, no one has to say, okay, hold the baby, don't throw the baby. You know, you have certain instincts of what you're going to do with that child. You're going to raise the child. Nobody else. Daddy's still sleeping in bed. Come on now. He's snoring like a lumber company. Can I hear an amen? But mama, here's the baby turnover. And in you and I, when we get saved, I'm talking like saved and set free, really recognizing what God's purpose is for our life, we're not going to sit back and say, well, you know, I love God. I go to church every once in a while, but I don't give my life to what God's plan is. I'm kind of just a church person. I'm a church, come on now, I'm a church visitor. And I want you to hear me now. That is the plan of Lucifer. That is the plan of Satan. Because the word of God was very clear. It said, when the body of Christ fulfills their call, their special work, the body will be healthy, the body will be growing, and the body will be filled with love. And that happens as we do God's work, each one of us individually, coupled with the house of God. You see, if you don't go to church, there's a problem. Well, I don't need to go to church to go to heaven, and that is true. But you do have to go to church to grow up. I'll prove it to you. All right, moms and dads, how many of you sent your kids to school? Your kid looked at you and said, well, I don't really want to go to school. And you said to them, okay, you just stay home. Right? You did that, right? Well, you know, I'm just uncomfortable at school. You know, I just don't feel like I fit there. What did you do to the kid? Get to school. If you didn't, somebody showed up at your house. It's called the truancy officer. And you're in trouble. But we do it to the house of God all the time. You can't grow without the word of God. You can't grow without the body of Christ. You can't grow without being able to take the gifts and the talents he's given you and plugging them in to where you're called to be. The church you go to has a direct impact on whether you're going to fulfill God's will for your life. If the church you go to doesn't believe in healing, yet you have a healing ministry, they're never going to train you, develop you, mature you to move in the power of God through healing. If a church, listen now, I had a man leave this church. He found a chick in another congregation, and he said, you know, pastor, I love you. I got saved here. But, you know, pastor, honestly, you know, she goes to this other church, and she's really cute. so I'm going to go to this other church. So he went to the other church, and he came back after like 3 months, and he said, they didn't even give one altar call in the church in 3 whole months. So he went to the pastor and said, why aren't you doing altar calls? And the pastor simply looked at him and said, well, because we know everybody's saved. Which means what? Which means they're not going to train one person to be a soul winner in that church, which is our call. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says, go and preach the gospel, that every creature in these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If they touch anything, they shall not harm them. When the hands of the sick, they shall recover. God working with them in signs and wonders following. Now I need a nap. But you see, that's the church you go to, and the gifts that you have, they're imperative. If you have a passion to see children raised up in the kingdom of God, but yet the church doesn't have a children's ministry or the same kids. Come on now, the same kids. There's never one. Listen, I know it's church right now. I had a church ask me to help them, and some of you don't know I do that. But one of the ministries I do on the side is called Empowering Pastors. And pastors call me from all over, and they ask, can you help me grow the church that we're in? And so I went to this one church, and I said, listen, pastor, I know that your church doesn't have a lot of money. I'm going to do this for free. And so I just want to bless you. I said, how many children do you have in your church under the age of 18? And he said, one. I said, well, you might as well just close the doors. Well, why is that? Well, the church is already dead, already closed. You got no next generation. So if you have a children's ministry, are you going to go to that church? Well, that's the church I was brought in and up in my whole life. Listen, the church you go to has a direct impact on whether or not the gifts and the talents God has given you are going to be brought to fruition through people's lives. And if you are not able to connect with your personal vision, with a corporate vision, then you are going to sit there and literally sit and spin like that little toy that we gave our children, that merry-go-round that you just kind of hung on, especially as it started to go faster, hoping that you weren't going to get flung off and thrown in the dirt. I want you to see me now. I want you to hear me now. The church you go to is everything when it comes to whether or not you're going to fulfill God's purpose for your life. You see, in this fearfully and wonderfully made, he's given you gifts. I'm just going to read a few verses. We're almost done. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. In his grace, God has given to us different gifts for doing certain things well. Turn to someone and say, I do certain things well. Come on, tell somebody else, I can do certain things well. I want you to know what I can't do. I am not a singer. Don't ask me to fix your car. Watch now. Don't ask me to fix my own Harley Davidson. Because there'll be pieces that come off. Screws in locations. I found 2 screws yesterday in my barn. I'm not sure where they go. Wait, weight reduction. See, I can affirm that. Not just here. But I want you to know, when you know, you ever get those cabinets in your house, you know, where you got to put them together like children's, you know, like bureaus and stuff made of the press wood? I just can't do it. I can't, you know, I tried. I don't do that well. In fact, the only time that I come close to losing my salvation, I had to redo my back, my wall on the back deck. Or I remember putting together the grill, and the top of the grill went flying across the yard. With the back wall, I took my hammer, and I know it was in the middle of, I lived up in Big Flats. It was in the middle of the fire department's field. I can't do that well. But what I do well, baby, I know who I am. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know who I am. I know what my call is. And baby, I'm in it right now. You see, I can preach for 30 minutes. I can preach for 40 minutes. I can preach for 50 minutes. I can preach for 2 hours. Baby, it's not a problem for me to preach 2 hours. I can just have a great old time. In fact, I won't even feel bad for you at some time. I've always felt bad for you. Actually, I feel bad more for the children's ministry on the other side because they get mean. They get really mean when I go really long. I tried the kids ministry that one time. one time. And I said, they all need to. The Bible says that you do things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, it doesn't mean prophecy. It literally means, have you ever met somebody that's just black and white? They tell you exactly what they think. The bear craps in the buckwheat in this corner. You don't have to ever have a question what they're thinking about you. Those are people, how many of you are that way? One, well, hands are, every, you're, yeah, okay. I want you to know that that is an amazing gift. Because without that gift, honed, the church goes off in bad doctrine. You see, people, God has placed certain gifts in you to keep the body of Christ healthy, growing, and in love. The Bible says if you serve, serve them well. Listen, there are people in this room you never want to be seen out. You never want to be seen here. You never want to be seen in public. You'll do everything behind the scenes and get it done and do it amazing. That's your gift. That's called serving. That is amazing. You see, I can do what I can do, but if you don't serve, I can't do what I can do. There are teachers in the room. Man, Pastor Pelko is a phenomenal teacher. If you've not joined her Rock Solid Faith on Thursday nights at 6 p.m., you are out of your gourd. She's a better teacher than I am. If your gift is encouraging, that means just like this, being able to speak and encourage people. If your gift is giving, listen, there are people in the body of Christ, their whole gift is giving money, is giving their time, their talents. That's their whole gift. One day we ran out of room with the kids' ministry. And we had to take our barn, our garage out back here, and we needed to make three classrooms. And I stood up in Rock Solid Faith one night, and I said, you know, we need to do this. I'm just letting you know on Sunday we're going to receive an offering. So I'm just preparing you so you have time to pray. And all of a sudden, a man came to my office right after service, and this is what he did. He said, Pastor, here's a $25,000 check, because I know that's what you said it was going to cost. Here it is. I just want you to know, let's get this thing built so we can get more kids saved. That's his gift. That's his gift. I've been declaring, and God showed me 5 years ago that someone's gone from the television ministry. He's going to write a $1 million check to this house so that we can put it on the mortgage. We're not going to play with the money. We're going to put it on the mortgage. I want to pay this building off so we can build our next one. Can I hear an amen? You see, the plan of God is if you're a giver, God has called you to give, not to hoard. I went to this lady's house once. She was a hoarder. Listen, I'm not down anybody if you are. Deliverance, God does that. But this lady, literally, there was newspapers stacked this high. The moment you walked in the door, you could only walk to the sink, to the table, and the living room where she had cats in cages. She probably had the gift to give, but never learned it. You need to know that if you're a giver, man, God wants to work through your life. Listen, if you have the gift of administration, we all need administrators. Listen, I'm a great bread guy, but I am horrible with peanut butter and jelly. So I'm going to tell you the two slices of bread, man. This is where we're going, man. I'm excited. God's got great things planned, but I need an administrator to put the peanut butter and jelly in the sandwich. She was so willing to say that. First Peter, there's another one, called mercy. Listen, I'm so sorry. Service has gone long. If you're a guest in the house, we don't usually go this long. You know, worship went probably 25 minutes more than normal. Thank you, honey. And we have baby dedications. So you don't mind if I just preach? I want you to be encouraged here. You can all kill him later because he said it first. The next one's called the gift of mercy. I'm really not gifted with this one. Now, remember when I was in Newfield, we had a man who lived in Enfield. He didn't go to the church, but one of his family members did, and he was in a comatose state, like to the place where they anticipated him to die at any point in time. So I called my associate, Bob Clark, and I said, Bob, we need to go visit this guy up in Enfield, and he's not saved. His relative said, If he dies in this state, he's not going to heaven. He's never known God, never served God, never confessed Christ, never anything. He said, so we need to get this guy saved. Well, he's comatose. So I took Bob, and we went up into Enfield, and we went to the house, and there's the wife sitting on the end of the bed. It was a hospital bed in the living room, and he's laying there, very not moving. And all of a sudden, I looked over, and the daughter was there, and I asked the daughter and the wife to go down to Friendly's. Now, you know how old this was, if you know Ithaca at all, when Friendly's was the main thing on Meadow Drive. That was at least a week and a half ago. So they left, and here's Bob, right? Bob is leaning over the guy, and he's stroking his hair, and his hair is nasty, greasy, and his fecal matter on the sheets. And I'm looking. He's stroking his head, stroking his face, man. I'm just saying, man, Bob, step out of the way, man. I got to get this thing done. So I looked at the man. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get up right now. Boom, he sat right up out of bed. Closest I've ever come to raising somebody from the dead. And I said, hey, how are you? He goes, I'm okay now. I said, you need Jesus as your Savior. He said, yes, I do. I don't know if he met anybody on the other side, but he said, yes, I do. I led him to Jesus right there. And there's Bob stroking his arm, you know, stroking his hair. And then the wife came back, and she walked in the door, and her husband looked at her and called her the pet name that they had, and they're both crying, and the daughter's crying. And I looked at Bob and said, let's go to Friendly's. So we're heading out to the car, and Bob reaches over to shake my hand and said, don't you touch me. Don't touch me. Until you wash, don't touch me at all. Not even my clothes. That's gross. Bob had the amazing gift of mercy. I did not. You see, when we all work together, there's nothing we can't do. When we all work together, our gifts are going to fulfill every need in the church. We will be healthy. Come on now. We will be healthy. We will grow. And there'll be so much love even when you don't like somebody. There'll be so much love in this place, somebody's going to fill that hole that you're lacking. I want you to hear me now. The body of Christ needs you not to be a visitor, but to be an active part of the kingdom of God so you can fulfill God's purpose for your life. So when he sees you, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's not going to say that to everybody. Because some of you have never done God's will. And you need to. You'll never be more fulfilled than when you do God's will for your life. When you understand why you're breathing, it changes everything. Well, Pastor, how do I know? Well, you need to join Growth Track. Every Sunday morning at 9:30, Growth Track. And in Growth Track, on the third week, I believe it is, they give you a gift test. And in the gift test, it shows you one of these gifts that you're strong in. And we're going to start moving you in that direction to train you and to develop you. You also, if you don't go to Growth Track, you can go to histabernacle.com. Flow all the way down, and down near the bottom, there's a box. It says gift test. That gift test will go right to the office, and we'll make sure that somebody's going to grab a hold of that and get you plugged in to the kingdom of God. It's time to recognize that you're not here to suck air, but you're here to do the will of the Father. You're here to do God's purpose. The Bible says that whenever the body of Christ does one thing together, there's nothing that can't be accomplished. You remember when they were building the Tower of Babel? God said this. You ready? God said literally in Genesis 11:6, look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. You recognize your gift. We're moving as one. We're going to take this region for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to drain hell and we're going to fill heaven. We're going to take the people that everybody's ever given up on. We're going to get them born again, set free in Jesus' name, get them baptized in the Holy Ghost, because everybody's somebody to God. Can I hear an amen? Everybody's important to God. God's got a plan for everybody, even the ones you thought are lost and there is no hope. God's got a plan for. God has not given up on them. And we won't either, because God's got a desire to show you how important you are. How important you are. Now, every one of you need to have your own vision every single year set up. You know, we do this every year. It's called the faith wall. And I'm not going to take the time to go through the faith wall. But I need you to create one. I need you to set one up. Your family needs to do this. If you're married, you need to sit down with your children. Now listen, if you don't have a grow book yet, these we drop down to $7. And on the back page is how to do what we call a faith wall. You need to create a faith wall every year for your life. Because if you have no target, you will never have to worry about hitting anything. You've got to aim at something. And that's vision. And in this faith wall, you don't want to do something that you can do. Well, what do you need God for if you can do it? You need to believe bigger than you've ever believed before. And everybody who does these comes back at the end of the year and says, man, if you only knew what God did. Now, there's the faith wall right there. You see that there's a position for financial prosperity. Shout, I want to be debt free. Some of you need a new home, amen. Some of you need to start tithing, amen. Some of you need to buy a new car. There's a relationship portion. Man, some of you need your relationships that are broken restored. Some of you need to get involved with your church family. Some of you need to spend quality time with your spouse. There's a spiritual section. You want to start reading your Bible every day, praying, being consistent with Jesus, and doing the will and the work of God. Then there's a health and a wellness area. Some of you need to start exercising. Can I hear an amen? Listen, I hate exercise too. But man, if we don't exercise, we're not going to get healthy. You need to eat better. I love donuts. It's the will of God. God is going to have donuts in heaven. I love donuts. This morning, I have 2 donuts sitting on my desk. But this morning when I got up, I told God I was going to fast all day long. So I'm praying the fast goes faster. I'm going to take those donuts home. And tonight at 12:01, you can laugh all you want. 12:01, I'm going to get some milk, and I might even get some coffee, and I'm going to dunk those things. I'm going to eat both of them. Some of you need to have an intellectual desire. Some of you have never, ever excelled. You need to join Rock Solid Faith. Some of you have done Rock Solid Faith. We have folks in this church that have finished 5 times Rock Solid Faith. 5 times. And they're in it now, the 6th one. But many of you don't even know we have a Bible school, a full-time Bible school right here. You can do it online or in class. Some of you wanted to accelerate in your Bible knowledge. That's another way you can do this. But you need to have vision for your life. Turn to someone and say, without vision, without a prophetic vision, I will go nuts. Right? The Bible says that there is no purpose. Find a purpose, a person with no purpose, and all they do is chase their tail. So today, how have you been fearfully and wonderfully made? Today, do you know God? Today, if you went home with the Lord, would he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or, dude, what'd you do? Are you connected to a vision? Remember, you marry the vision and not the pastor. Are you ready to accelerate, especially in these last days? I don't know if you saw it, but on Amazon.com, they just started announcing they're going to start making your handprint a credit card. They're actually now inserting chips in people's hands at different businesses and locations, so you no longer have to carry the tag. You just go by and you slide your hand through. The first cashless system was created by the Honeywell company in 1984. My buddy worked on the project. We're in a position where, thank God, he's coming soon. But we got a lot of work to do. And man, if the body's never done what it's supposed to do, it is time to do it now. Which means my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Jesus, here's my gifts that you gave me. Here's the talents you gave me. However you want to use them, God, glory be to your name. To God be the glory, great things he has done. With you, bow your head with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you haven't even started the adventure. But I've got great news for you. God's been waiting for you. He's waiting for you just for you because of how important you are. If you do not know the Lord, today is your day. Today, if you once served God, but man, you're not even sure if you go to heaven if you take your last breath. You've walked so far away from Jesus. It's time to get right with God. Today, if you want to give your heart to the Lord or get right with Jesus. I just heard that. Someone just said in their head, I was closer to the Lord last year than I was this year. That means you're backslidden. You need to get your life right with Christ. Today is your moment to start using who you are and why He created you. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand right up. If you're here in the room, you want to get right with God, slide your hand into the air. I'm not going to wait long. Come on. 5, 4. Thank you very much, sir. 3. Thank you. Thank you. 2. Last call. Thank you, baby. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Thank you in the back. One more. Come on. One more. Heaven's waiting for you, man. This is not about religion. It's about you doing God's will. Come on. 5, 4. Thank you very much. Thank you. I see your hand, honey. Both of you. And put them right back down. Are you ready? I'm going to this it. The babies are raising their hands, moms and dads. That's more than okay. The Bible said the little children will lead them. I'd rather see them get saved at that age and start serving God at that age than have to wait to get through their friends' stuff. So if your babies raised their hand and you saw them, when we give that altar call, I want you to bring your babies up because that's going to give them an opportunity to get right with Jesus. My boys were saved at 4 years old. They gave their hearts to Jesus at 4. Today, last call, 5, 4, 3. Get your hand up, 2. And last call, amen, 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Again, if you're a guest, this is not one of our normal types of services. We're usually out of here 30 minutes ago. But man, I'm not going to give up the presence of the Lord for nobody. So this might not be the church for you. I just want to let you know that. It's not the church for everybody. You won't hear many preachers saying that. But to be honest with you, we're going to get God with all of our getting. And that's all it's going to do. And if you don't like it here, I'm okay with that. I'm okay. If you need help, I'll help you find a church. I'm not asking anybody to leave, but I will tell you that I'm not going to change in who we are. We're going all the way with Jesus. We're taking as many captives from Satan's lair as possible in Jesus' name. We have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you raise your hand for salvation, I've gone late, so I'm going to release everybody. But if you raise your hand for salvation, Mindy's right here. Make your way on up to the with her, and she'll pray with you. We got a Bible for you. Father, release a blessing on the house in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for leading us to you. Thank you, God, for changing us. We declare that no sickness has a right in our house. We curse right now even the flu in Jesus' name. Lord, we stand against, Lord, any of the wiles of the enemy, the attack of the devil, and we declare he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Bless us all week long. Let us lead at least one soul to Jesus. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. If you raise your hand for salvation, meet me right here, right now.